All of these years, you have used drugs to cover up pain. When you were pregnant, it got so bad at one point that you used meth while you were pregnant?
I did.
Is that true?
Yes.
Do you even know why you made that decision?
That's the things that happen when you want to get high and you don't care. You know, you don't even love yourself really to do that, you know?
So what is it going to take for you to be motivated to get clean, stay clean, so that you can have the reunion you so desire with your children? Welcome. So glad to see you guys today. Heroin, crystal meth, amphetamines, crack cocaine. Drugs in America and around the world have become an absolute epidemic. Now, studies show that 1 out of every 10 Americans is addicted to some form of drug. That's nearly 24 million people, roughly the size of Texas. And the end result of drug use is nearly always devastating. Misery for the user and great sadness for their families. I'm talking about depression, feelings of hopelessness, and often utter desperation. Today, you'll meet one such woman who is desperately trying to come clean, but she's been unable to kick this vicious addiction, and constant itch to inject a needle is unbearable. But there is hope. And today, we'll discover the steps to break free from the power of addiction. First guest today has spent most of her adult life on the street, an unwilling slave to the drugs that she now desperately seeks to escape. Now, a woman who still has dreams, though seemingly impossible to attain while marked by 4 felonies on her record. She is here today to share her story, and she needs our help. So please, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your world, Jessica. Jessica, first of all, I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You give us an opportunity to come into your world and to see and to gain some understanding. I hear you've just recently been released from drug rehab.
Yes.
How are you feeling today?
I'm sober today. Thank God. I don't have a lot of clean time. I've been clean since August 17th, a little over 30 days. I've been struggling all my life since I was 15 with drugs. I'm 34 years old now. I have 2 children. I have a 7-year-old and a 1-year-old that stays with my mother because I couldn't get myself together.
Yeah. Tell us, how did it start, and then how did it get out of control?
Well, it started back when I was in junior high, about 15 years old. I just started experimenting with prescription pills and then powder cocaine. Hanging out with the wrong people, thought I was cool. It just got out of hand. I started taking the pills and, of course, the powder, and it just led to methamphetamines. I mean, I've sold everything I've had except my children. Mm-hmm. And it's just insane.
Until you really find out and identify the motivation behind an addiction, it becomes very difficult to put it aside.
Right.
At 15 years of age, emotional issues, maybe a search for significance, maybe wanting to be accepted, or even maybe some form of shame, because there's a difference between guilt and shame. You know, guilt, you're saying, I made a mistake, feel bad about it. But shame says, I am a mistake. Can you recall events that may have been the cause for you turning to drugs? Was it acceptance? What were you trying to accomplish? And how did drugs become the tool you used to try to accomplish that?
Well, when I was younger, probably before my teens, maybe 6, 7 years old, my dad would physically beat my mother. And my dad's an alcoholic. He was a mean alcoholic back then. He still drinks today, and he was a drug addict also. I'm not really sure if that's what caused me to do the things I've done.
That could be very traumatizing as a little girl. To see those things happen, to see
it
how
is.
Your father responds, so forth and so on. What was the first drug of choice that, you know, that started the whole thing?
Prescription pills.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the prescription pills at the time, you began to take them for what? Was it to deal emotionally, maybe, with some of the things you were seeing in the house?
I didn't have any emotions. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to think about those things at the time. Didn't have any problems, you know, that the pills put it all aside.
Yeah.
Where I couldn't even think about it. And I believe that's today why I was continuing to use drugs. Mm-hmm. It's because I didn't have to think about my problems that I had and the things that I've done that I just threw out the window. Mm-hmm. You know, I had scholarships. I quit 3-4 months before I graduated high school, you know, went to college, dropped out. And I threw all that away to do a drug. I quit for a month or two. And of course, when I was in jail, I quit. You know, that's about the longest I've ever been clean, but was about 8 months. I even continued to use drugs while I was pregnant, you know. So
would you agree with me that up to this point, all of these years, you have used drugs to cover up pain?
Right, yes.
And so, you know, one of the things I would advise is in your recovery program to try to go back as far as you can and identify the pain in your life. Because if we can begin to address the pain in your life and to resolve that, that's going to kind of take away the need to cover the pain up. And I'm sure you've dealt with that in therapy at one point or another, right?
Yes.
So what was one of the darkest moments that you spent on the streets? Because, you know, we know you started using drugs in high school, but you've been homeless too, right?
Yes.
What was one of the darkest moments on the street?
Me and one of my girlfriends were out, you know, we met these guys at the convenience store, whatever. We wanted to go get high, so we did. I haven't ever met them before. We went down there to their house. Our neighborhood is the ghetto. So she thought I went to the restroom. You know, I'm getting high, whatever. She left me there, okay? There was 4 guys. They stripped my clothes off, everything, and they threw me out the door just with no clothes on, threw my clothes out behind me. But that's the things that happen when you want to get high and you don't care. You know, you don't even love yourself, really, to do that, you know. But today I'm a different person. I love my kids. But, you know, my mom will get custody next month until I get stable enough. But that was one of the darkest things. I have a lot of stories, but that was one of them. And that God was with me. And God has turned my life around the past month.
You know, when you share that, I mean, I can literally feel your pain. It's painful to hear. When you were pregnant, it got so bad at one point that you used meth while you were pregnant?
I did.
Is that true?
Yes.
Do you even know why you made that decision? Knowing that another life was on the line.
Right.
I mean, did it get that bad where you were not even thinking about the life of the child that you would go ahead and use meth?
I was thinking about the life of my child.
Okay.
But at the same time, I still wanted to get high. And the night when I had my baby, I did cocaine the same night I went into labor. And that's the reason that I don't have my child today. It's because I had cocaine in my system. So that's why my mom's got both of my kids. I'd smoked crack, sort of powder with my 7-year-old also. And thank God they're both healthy babies and smart.
Yeah. So what is it going to take for you to be motivated to get clean, stay clean, so that you can have the reunion you so desire with your children?
The neighborhood I live in is just awful. You know, there's drugs everywhere. Mm-hmm. And just, I stay away from those people and just, you know, keep going to my meetings and doing, working the program and walking with God, because he's the only one that brought me out of this.
Yeah, his grace.
Oh, he's the only one that brought me out of this.
You could have been dead sleeping in your grave.
Yes.
But it's the unmerited favor of God that allows you to be here today. Praise God. Honestly speaking, how much shame do you find yourself dealing with on a daily basis?
I have a lot of shame and guilt built up.
Yeah.
Just from using drugs while I was pregnant with my children, you know, thinking that just basically that one thing right there, right, would just eat you up inside if you can't let it go.
You're exactly right if you don't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why I like this show, Your World, is nobody can tell me not to use Jesus. And you know, at the end of the day, one of the things I want to encourage you with is the fact that Jesus took upon all of your shame. Everything you've ever felt shame for, Jesus took your shame and put it on himself so that you don't have to walk in shame. So you can literally say to yourself, I will no longer walk in shame, because Jesus took my shame. Boy, that does something for you. And I am saying to you today, as a minister of the gospel, you don't have to be in shame, not another day in your life. Not another day in your life. You know, hearing Jessica's story, it's extremely clear the drug problem in America is bigger than you or me. But one thing we also heard in Jessica's story is that it's not bigger than our God. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to meet a recovering addict that's been through the fires of hell and made it out alive. Now, she's sharing her story so people on the street can know there's hope and that God will never leave you or forsake you. We'll be right back.
I liked it, smoking crack. I liked it, everything about it, the fast life, the orgies. I liked it, everything about it, but I didn't like the consequences that came with it. It's always a route to why we get high. We don't wake up saying we want to be a crackhead. I want to go into the army, you know. Mine was, I was trying to cover up that I had been molested. And that made me feel like I wasn't worthy. I had so much hurt inside, and when I smoked crack, it made me just feel like all my problems was gone.
So like Jessica, drugs now are being used to cover up pain?
Right.
Do you think that's true for what percentage of people who are on drugs?
100% of them.
Your generosity allows us to make a difference in the lives of people all over the world. Through Creflo Dollar Global Missions, we are providing food, clothing, crucial supplies, and the Word of God to people in the most remote regions of the world. Because of you, Creflo Dollar Ministries is providing a new understanding of grace and empowering change in the lives of millions of people every day. For more information, visit us online at creflodollarministries.org.
Now, today we focus on the struggle of coming clean by overcoming the demons of addiction. Our next guest is a recovering drug addict who was homeless and living under a bridge. She has seen firsthand the destruction addiction can bring to a family, and she's been clean for nearly 12 years and now counsels others trying to quit and come clean. Please join me in welcoming Blossom Rogers. I am honored to have you on this show today, because I believe you're going to bring to the audience, to Jessica and those who are viewing, a real live picture of what addictions are about.
Right.
And to see you today, you know, the author of at least 3 books, counseling people, showing them that there's hope. I so appreciate it. If I couldn't encourage Jessica, mm-hmm.
then I'm just depending on the Lord and you to be
Amen.
Able to do that, okay?
Amen.
And that's what we want to do.
Amen.
Take us back. And the first time you were introduced to drugs, tell us about your addictions and bring us into your world.
Well, I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your show. My drug of choice was crack cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
I tell a lot of people, I liked it smoking crack. I liked it, everything about it, the fast life, the orgies. I liked it, everything about it. But I didn't like the consequences that came with it. I heard you saying this, it's always a route to why we get high. We don't wake up saying we want to be a crackhead. I want to go into the army, you know. Mine was, I was trying to cover up that I had been molested.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me feel like I wasn't worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, with the, after the molestation, then getting involved with the boys, even because I started acting out, you know, just wanting to fit in because my childhood had been snatched from me.
Yeah, so now you're searching for significance.
Right, right. Yeah. When I was in pageants, Miss New Smyrna, you know, softball, cheerleader, rah-rah, I was there. But it was something still there missing, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Because I thought that's the way daddy's supposed to love a little girl, mm-hmm. you know, but it wasn't. But like I said, my drug of choice was crack cocaine. I had so much hurt inside, and when I smoked crack, it made me just feel like all my problems was gone.
So like Jessica, drugs now are being used to cover up pain?
Right.
Do you think that's true for what percentage of people who are on drugs?
100% of them.
Wow.
Because we want the pain to go away.
Mm-hmm.
God had to teach me how to get a secret back to my stepdad, because mm-hmm. I told it for 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to be out there.
And you were 6 when that happened, right? Something like that?
At 5, wow. I remember something happening. Then at the age of 6 or 7, like I said, it still comes in and out because some things might still happen and I got it oppressed.
Mm.
But I can't let it stop me today.
Yeah.
I used to couldn't say the word without going to getting high. Oh, I used to get high if a bird got hit, you know, so bird dead, let's go get high, you know what I'm saying? So
just,
it is what it is.
Just any reason or an excuse to see if we can cover up this pain that's been dealing with you every day of your life since.
That's a long time to hold on to
a
secret. We just as sick as our secret, you know what I'm saying? And I went through the drug addiction. I tell a lot of people I was an unfit mother.
Mm-hmm.
My babysitter was NyQuil and water, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sit here and make it seem like I was mother of the year because I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God for my mother and my great-grandmother. They stepped in and kept my boys together. So I have 3 sons.
Mm-hmm.
And 12 grandbabies. So when I go home, I play grandma and I come on back, you know. But I wasn't there for them in the beginning, but I want to be there for them so much in the future, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I tell my story, you know. And I was willing to die a crackhead. I was willing to die a crackhead because that was the easy way out. It's minute by minute that we have to stay clean and sober. You know, they say day by day, but it's minute by minute because we're still going to go through things. I'm an alcoholic also. So if I pick up a beer, I'm going to go smoke crack. And I tell them we have to play the tape all the way through. Don't stop at the good times. Because, you know, I had some good times out there. I don't know what kind of dope they were doing, but I had some good times out there. I ain't going to tell you no lie.
And I appreciate you being honest.
I'm being honest.
You know,
Mr. Dollar, I used to smoke $500 to $600 a day.
Wow.
I smoke crack. I ain't play with it.
Wow.
I remember it was lightning, storming. I was on the bicycle like the witch on Wizard of Oz.
Uh-huh.
I had a plastic bag on my head going to find a dope man. I'm telling the truth. I was so nasty. I was a nasty, drunk, high person because I had so much hurt down inside. When they would say Blossom coming, they would pick their whole house up and move because they didn't want to be around me.
Wow.
That's how bad I was. You know what I'm saying? But now, look, I'm on the couch.
What was that moment, that maybe it was an epiphany or something, that turned everything?
Ooh, I was in a dope hole, and I was just so tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I had a piece of paper in my purse, and I just started writing. Because I knew the Lord, but I had backslid. You know what I'm saying? You have people talking about when I found Jesus. Jesus wasn't never lost.
He wasn't lost. He found you, didn't he?
In a dope hole.
In a dope hole. He found you. Wow.
Hadn't took no bath in days. I looked like Tales from the Crypt and smelled like hot buttermilk. Water didn't like me, and I ain't like it. Wow. We stayed apart from each other. But I was just so tired. I would smoke, keep writing God, take another hit, keep writing him.
So you were writing a letter to God while you were getting high?
I sure was. Wow. And I took that last hit off that stem. Lips was all burnt and black from hitting that stem so hard. And I took that, wrote that last, and I put the purse on my shoulder like, my dear. And I walked out of that dope hole and checked myself into a hospital.
Jessica, can you relate to a whole lot of what she's saying? Is it that similar?
Yes. My story, life on drugs, that world is just, it's just like that.
And yet, one day you said, I'm tired of this. I'm
tired.
And you went to school. Mm-hmm. You earned your degree. Mm-hmm. You became an author.
Three-time
author. You're also a comedian.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, you sure need to go and walk into that. You know what I mean?
See that.
Because there's a power that comes with joy.
Yeah.
You can share a painful story, mm-hmm. and then do it joyfully, mm-hmm. to get through the pain of it. But there's a whole lot of truth. Yep. Even when we sit here and we laugh about how you're sharing it, there's a lot of truth that's there. And it's so similar to what Jessica shared with us earlier. And yet you were able to come out and accomplish what you accomplished. What I'm trying to get a hold of is that same hope available to every person that's addicted to drugs.
They gotta want it. The same way I wanted that hit in the morning time. I remember waking up with the stem of my hand and crack in one hand and saying, Lord, thank you. You know, that's how insane it was. But today when I wake up, I love being clean and sober. I used to walk past the mirror and just look at a thing. It just wasn't. I know that's not what God created me for. So now the mentality I have now, I just want to be able to help everybody.
What kind of advice could you give Jessica? I mean, she's on the path. She's on the way. What can you tell her to help her to maintain what she's accomplished so far?
You got to deal with whatever the root of the issue is. Cut that tree down so that you can have some pretty flowers in there and your white picket fence with the house and all that, and your children out there playing and you swinging and you got your husband. And, you know, we still can dream because as little girls, we dreamt about our white weddings, how the prince is going to come in on the horse and take us away. Well, my neighborhood was, it could have been anything, took me with a bicycle, but... Dream. My dream was to sit on this couch on your stage, and I wasn't gonna give up.
What? Amen.
You got to, I'm telling you, you know, because when we get into drugs, I used to be in that la-la world. But as soon as the high is gone, there you go, you're chasing it again. Yeah. And that's what we'd be chasing, that very first hit.
So the pain, and I agree with you 100%. If you don't deal with the pain,
it'll deal with you.
That pain will deal with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jessica, you're not a failure. You have significance. There's a reason why you're in this world. There's something powerful that you can do. Something that God has given you an anointing to do better than anybody else.
Amen.
And don't let your past and the shame stop you from reaching that destiny. Mm-hmm. And maybe one day it's just one step forward. And the next day you're taking another step forward. But then you look back at the end of the week and you realize I have gone forward every day this week. And you keep going forward and you look back one day and that's in your past. Mm-hmm. Now you can take your past and turn it into a testimony, mm-hmm. that'll help somebody's future.
Amen.
And that one day come back and sit in that seat, mm-hmm. and another Jessica will sit here.
Amen.
And you can say to her,
Amen.
I know you.
Amen.
I was you. And so hearing Blossom and seeing that she's able to laugh, how does that make you feel about what she shared?
Hopeful that one day I can be where she's at and have 12 years clean, have my children with me. She makes me very hopeful, very hopeful. Amen.
So I believe with all of my heart, Jessica, that the best is yet to come.
Bless her.
Amen. And Blossom, you are a joy.
Amen.
I am honored to meet you.
God be the glory.
Congratulations for what you've accomplished. Congratulations for what you're about to accomplish.
Amen.
and the people that you're helping.
Amen.
Thank you, ma'am.
Amen.
I appreciate you. The body of Christ appreciates you. You just keep on doing what you need to do.
Yes, sir.
And we really, really appreciate it. Don't you appreciate our guest today? Yes, 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 yes. I pray that you've been encouraged, that you've been inspired, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will know that you are significant. And God created you for a purpose. He created you for a reason. And no matter what you've gone through, there's a way out. Search for that way out. God is available to pick you up out of the pit, to place your feet on a solid ground, and to put joy back in your life. It's not over until He says it's over. And you've got to make sure you don't say it's over.